Okay, let's assemble ourselves, get ready for a morning of worship. Okay, let's get started. I got a lot of things we need to cover today and some announcements I want to make. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Prayer is very important. It's not a ritualistic prayer. It's time for you to test yourself, to be sure you're filled with the Spirit. Some people, not everybody, some of us get out of fellowship just driving to church. We're in fellowship when we leave our house. But something happens between our house and here. So let's just give everybody an opportunity. Test yourself to be sure you're trusting the Holy Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him and glorifying to His Son. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, for the opportunity, the privilege we have of coming with others who are like-minded to worship You and to study Your Word, and to fellowship with other believers who are like-minded. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
All right, this should be familiar to many of us, so would you stand and join us in number 208. Hymn 208 is called Like the River Glory.
I'm sorry.
So let's hear it.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in His triumph grace. Perfect and it floweth over every day. Perfect and it
should have sang It Is Well With My Soul. Horatio Spafford, who wrote that, died this week in 1879, somewhere in there. Okay. We're a small group. I'm expressing my appreciation. It's so wonderful to have Eve back. Eve, we're happy to have you back. You've been through a battle, and we're just happy to have you back on. So that's wonderful. Okay, let's talk about some prayer requests. And first of all, Larry, what's the story of Candace?
Candace is still sick, and they're not certain how to help her right now other than what they're doing. She's in a lot of pain. This is a 23-year-old stepsister of mine who had a scholarship to play basketball and was in the middle of her nursing school education, and she just, God said, you're sick. So she's home, and So just pray for wisdom, for direction for them, or patience and endurance and comfort for Candace and her mom.
Okay, very good. How's Thomas? What's the report?
Yeah, he's doing fantastic, but we did go see the oncologist, and Dr. Weinthal said because his labs and everything look great, it's not an urgent situation, but he does think that we do need to consult with this lung specialist. It's like, he's a guy that saw Thomas when he was in a coma, and if there's a biopsy that needed to be done, he will be the guy to see. So we had to... his office had to send over all these reports, and then he takes it case by case. And so they'll call us if he accepts Thomas's case, and then he will go consult with him.
So we'll continue being prayer.
Yeah, because Dr. Weinthal did say we can't rule out GVHD. They told me that, oh, it's too far along, he can't get GVHD, but apparently you can. They don't know what it is, so that's why they have to biopsy it probably.
Okay. And Kit, the young lady we've been praying for?
Just continue to pray that... I mean, she's home, but she's still not looking towards God for any solutions. So,
how's she getting along with her parents?
So-so.
Yeah. We studied that this morning in the 9:15 class. This book is the greatest self-help book in the world. You don't need any other book. It'll explain to you why teenagers do what they do, why people murder and why, teenagers rebel and why, husbands, wives rebel and why, Christians rebel and why, and what to do about it. This is the greatest book written, yes.
Well, and there's some other stuff happening. Apparently she has ADHD, so they gave her some medication for that, and apparently when she's taking that, it affects her psychology, so they're going to have to stop that medication. But it's one of those things where just don't medicate, I guess.
Yeah.
And you just need to trust the Lord.
What would be what we should pray?
One, that her parents will stay the course,
okay.
Give up on her, and they haven't.
Good.
And that I don't know if she has to hit a brick wall or what in order to understand that the source of solutions is God and not her own devices. And like millennials, that phone is like the whole universe to her. So.
Okay. Very good. We'll be in prayer then. Thank you. Tell us again her first name.
Kaylee.
Okay. Now, any other prayer? Yes.
Continue praying for my daughter and, my buddy Dennis passed away. And the family's taking it really hard, Mary and the daughter Shannon, but now the adopted granddaughter, 10-year-old, she's taking it extremely hard. She wasn't on accepted. But on top of all that, now they got some water leaks at the house. So a good friend of mine, Richard, offered to help, so we're going to be taking it.
What's the status of Captain Clark?
He's still in pain. The 24th, he's going in for reevaluation to see if they got
a cancer. Prayer. And Terry, the lady that's having the children.
Yeah, that's where I was going to give an update. So my niece had the triplets a day early. Everything's wonderful. Babies are healthy. They're amazed. How
she's given birth?
Yeah, they delivered the baby.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
A day early. And God's had his hand in this the entire time. You know, she's been in the hospital for 25 days. She's gotten to witness to so many people because doctors and nurses are all like, how are you staying so calm? How are you not having anxiety? You know, having to leave her.
Wonderful. I love that.
So what's
said, your
God
secret?
She had me here for a reason. And she talked to a young nurse that was a Catholic, used to be a Catholic, and gave her the gospel, you know, and she received it.
Wow, beautiful.
She's got some amazing stories and peace. And one baby is already transitioning to a crib and will be released. The other two, they're the smaller ones that were sharing the same umbilical cord. None of them are on oxygen. They're just on cannulas, breathing regular air.
Beautiful.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Where did she have the babies? I got to ask that because we've been talking about she lived 4 hours from the hospital and all that.
Yeah, she's 2.5 hours from the hospital. And she had them on Tuesday morning. I think it was scheduled. They had them in the afternoon.
So she was at the hospital.
Oh, yeah. She's been in the hospital for over 25 days. She never left because they had to monitor. She was
good.
The monitors this entire
time.
That's why the doctors were all surprised that she wasn't stressing.
Okay.
because her 10-month-old baby and her 8-year-old son were staying with family members while she's in the hospital.
Now, Terry has not asked this. Go ahead, Danielle.
They've been boys all along. She's got a man. They were baby A, B, and C. She's got them. You can tell them apart and everything. It's amazing. Yeah. Oh, and they're breastfeeding already. They're all taking to the breast.
Wow.
She has a sister that lives real close.
She only has two.
I know. You have to pump a lot. And then you set your bottle.
Oh, the bachelor, my days. So, okay. I'm sorry I can't remember, but there was a famous family that had five boys in World War II, and they all died on the same ship. Do you remember their name?
Sullivan.
Sullivan, yeah. Sullivan, that's right.
Pass a law that you can't serve. Family, if there's no other surviving.
Is that right? Because of the Sullivans? Oh, wow. Beautiful story. All right. Well, thank you very much. That's good. Yes?
Got Thanksgiving.
Good.
And a prayer. Got Thanksgiving. Thanks for praying for me for my new job. I got settled in this past week, and I found that 60% of the people in my team are believers.
Oh,
good. So we are planning on starting the Bible study.
Good.
In secret, of course. With on the internet and the rest of the world. So please pray for us.
You're ready for trouble. Good.
I know, yeah. So please pray for us for that. And update on the progress for the church. The website is coming along. We got Colossians and 1 Corinthians, the number one hit. And Daniel, surprisingly,
good,
has come in on the third, beating John.
Be nice.
Yeah, and Kit is doing a really wonderful job, so please pray for him that he can find the time after everybody goes to bed to actually convert that.
I pray for Kit every day.
Nonetheless, request for the church to pray for is the mailing list, because Brian has been testing and we come into a snag where to unsubscribe that from the list, you have to actually get a password, and that's kind of awkward. Another option is to go through Constant Contact, which actually a little more commercial, will probably have to pay for subscription, and it will have the limitation of 500 email address on the list. So that said, I don't think it's expensive. I haven't explored that yet, but I have to talk to Leslie about that on the detail later on. So please pray for us.
It's about $100 a year.
Yeah, we have to make sure too that we can support it long term.
Okay, yeah. Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Tell me how Brian's doing.
Tired.
What's he?
They are still there. Last night he was told they've extended their stay, but he can't seem to get an idea of what that looks like. I think he's personally going to try and fly home this week, even if he has to turn around and go back. But, they're still there. So it's...
Well, his daughter needs him. She hurt her toe real bad. Where is he?
He's in Panama City, Florida.
Panama City, Florida. Please be in prayer. Brian, those of you that don't know, he is, wherever there's disasters like that, he's called and to take care of the fleet line and things like that. Yeah. So please be in prayer. Yes.
So our friend Stephen, who's had the renal failure last week, they put in a port, so he's done dialysis a couple times. They're putting another port in his abdomen tomorrow or Tuesday, and then they may be sending him home. But the positive news is they've fixed the infection, and they think that his kidney failure is reversible.
Ooh.
It may take several months of dialysis to do it, but they really do believe that he'll come back. His kidneys will come back to whether it's full function. He has both of them right now, so hopefully, both of them come back to half, then he's as good as a transplant.
Well, be in prayer. You got your prayer. What about the young camp and Veterans Day?
Veterans Day, make sure you guys sign up. Lots of forms went home last Sunday, were taken up, so just make sure you guys either bring them back so we can put them into the computer, or you can enter them online. Leslie sent out a thing to all the church, so everyone should have gotten that, where you can just go onto the link and sign your veterans up, $5 or whatever donation you want to give, and we'll do our balloon release, and we'll announce their name, and we'll be praying for all the branches, and then do our flag football game afterward at Celebration Park, and that is November 11th. It is Veterans Day at 3 p.m. And just a quick update on the other things we talked about, soldier boxes for Christmas and our college Christmas cards. Phyllis in Florida has offered to make handmade cards for all of those people, for all the college kids, for all the veterans. So I told her 30 veterans will commit to sending stuff for, and then I'll work with you, Larry, on making sure we have that list of all the college kids and addresses. But very generous. We're going to send December 1st, I think, is that Sunday. We want to make sure all those get packed up and sent out.
To both groups?
To both. Okay. Because college kids will be heading home sooner, you know, after they do their finals, and we want to make sure the soldiers get their stuff by Christmas. We did find a petty officer in Bahrain who is in contact. Is anyone familiar with any soldier, any sailor program, it's called? And so service members volunteer to be contacts for other sailors and soldiers who do not get stuff from home and are very alone out deployed, and make sure those people get stuff. So I went ahead and got an address for that. There's 112 men and I think 46 women that the service members in contact with that will make sure people get things. So we're working on a list. We'll get that too, and then split that up between Plano, Wiley, and the church. Does that sound good, Larry? And we'll just collect the things, and then on that December 1st Sunday, we'll pack them all up and get them.
Good. Okay. Do you need any help? Okay. Lots.
So we have a sign up sheet. We'll do the sign up of the items that we're looking for, and like I said, we'll split those up so that we make sure everything's
good.
Covered.
Yeah, okay. And the gift cards for the college
kids. And the gift cards for college kids, we'll start taking a collection anytime you guys
have. So we'll just do cash, and then someone will go purchase the gift cards.
You guys, just whatever amount you feel led to give.
Okay.
We probably have 25 or 30, I would say, college kids that we would love to send some kind of gift card to, along with the Christmas card Phyllis is making, and all of us sign it, and just some scripture in there, some encouragement. Same with the soldier boxes, any little New Testament or gospel things we can put in there for those guys.
Okay, good. By when do you need the list of veterans for the balloons?
We'd like to have those by November 1st.
Okay, that's coming up, November 1st.
And spread the word. I mean, just at work I announced it, and I was just amazed at people that came up and said, please, I would love my... You know, my veteran, my brother recognized, I love my grandfather recognized.
And the online form, I did the second. I think that gives us plenty of time to turn in our link count. But the handheld form's probably the first, so we can input them into the system.
Yeah. And spread the word. There's people that want to recognize the veterans.
Good. People, yes. Lila, yes.
Keep my daughter on the list. They're still just taking tests now. They don't really know where this problem is.
They don't know yet? Oh, my goodness. Is she going to the doctor regularly, or?
She's supposed to have a bone marrow test this week, so to see if they can discover her.
People, please be in prayer for Leanne and the family. That's a difficult thing to have to endure. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Be traveling this next week, going to Kansas City, see our grandbaby. Yeah, we'll be staying with Miranda.
You mean he's a grandpa? Yeah. Poor baby.
They love Grandpa Trent.
We'll be in prayer for your travel. Please be in prayer for Judith as she travels right now. And let's see. One thing that my family is very upset because I start to tell them a story and they say, we know that one. And I still like to tell them. And Judith says, you mean I'm supposed to act like I've never heard it before? Even after 10 times? And I said, that's what a good wife would do. But one thing that I cherish in my soul is the home church that I was reared in. And I will never forget the first, I'm going to call it a sermon, the presentation that I gave at our church. And Wednesday night, you're going to have a real privilege here at this church. Ben Daig is going to speak Wednesday night. Unfortunately, he just asked me, Ben said, how much time do I have to get the whole hour? The whole hour? But the reason I'm asking Ben Daig to do this, at our meeting to discuss the subject matter for camp in 2019, we each had different ideas. Well, Ben came prepared. He came with sheets of paper with how he wanted to, how it should be taught. Now, I don't know what they're going to do as far as the subject matter, but I can't let this pass. It was so good by one of our young people, because we're not overrun with young people in this church. And that's another of my hurts. I grew up, fortunately, thankful, in a church. We had lots of young people. We had lots of fun. All kinds of different church events and things. But I hope you'll try to be here Wednesday night to hear Ben. And what is the title? Restless. Reckless. Reckless life. And it's not what you think. It's good. All right. So, and 6:45, you can come for prayer meeting. Somebody mentioned Phyllis in Florida. She's there via phone, and she wants to be a part of it, and I'm thankful for that. So Wednesday night at 6:45, we have a wonderful prayer time. I absolutely love it. And we'll invite all of you to come and pray with us. You do not have to stay for class. Now, I'm not taking roll. Well, let's see, you were a prayer meeting, but you didn't stay in class. I'm not going to do that. Very good, Ben. Oh, that was good. Very classic. So please join us at 6:45 and then 7:30 for Ben Daig and a wonderful presentation. Any other prayer requests or anything? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is first of all one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Spirit who guides us what to do with our time and money. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your use of this humble assembly. So many different outreaches. Now your young people, military, internet, missionaries, so many different ways, and right here in our own assembly. And therefore, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use this assembly in spreading the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Takes the offering on his side. He puts it over here and puts a hat on it. I think maybe we ought to just pass that hat. That's what they used to do. Okay. Does anyone not have, be thankful? Anyone not have it? Okay, we're all ready for our study then. Let's begin with the word of prayer. The prayer is important. We cannot understand the world. People, this book is phenomenal. Think about this. God, sovereign, omnipotent, always in existence, always has been, creator of the universe, universes that are out there, on and on and on. And he's made himself known to us through his word. That is a miracle. You hold in your lap a miracle. God making himself known to us, that we might know him and serve him and love him through his spirit. So let's have a word of prayer that God the Holy Spirit will cause us to correctly understand the word of God. People, I can't express, tell you how important that is. There's not a time I sit at my desk. I don't want to be wrong. I know I've been wrong. But my prayer is that whatever is seen here is of your spirit, that we'll have the truthfulness of Scripture. So let's begin with the word of prayer. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your spirit. We're thankful for your grace. And now, Father, we pray your spirit will open our eyes to the truth of Scripture that we might correctly understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, be thankful. Now we have three concluding commands in Colossians 3:15-17, concluding of a section. They divide the Bible into various sections. And chapter 3, 1-17 is a composite. And it closes with three commands. One, continue being at peace, given by the Holy Spirit. Let peace of Christ umpire in your hearts. A couple of weeks ago. Then we had the second one, the one we're on, continually thankful to God. That's what we're working on now. And then next week, hopefully, to continue to all your life, getting to know the teachings about Jesus Christ. And we'll start that next week, probably. Okay, this morning we continue on thankful to God. We didn't finish it last week. I get upset by that. Kit gets confused how we're going to put it together. I get upset. He didn't get upset. He just, okay, how are we going to do it? So, as far as I was concerned, we could have stayed another 30, 45 minutes last week, but I figured I'd just been teaching myself. Even my wife would have gotten up and left, so I decided that's not a good idea. All right, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, last week we started the doctrine of thanksgiving out of the Bible, and what Kid has done, we've taken the primary points, but we didn't elaborate on them like we did last week. So if you want it, do we have any back here? But anyway, they're on the internet. You can go to PFL, tap it, and there it is. So, let's take a look and go where we left off last Sunday morning. Roman number 1. The most inclusive verse on Thanksgiving is Ephesians 5:20, where we are exhorted to always give thanks to God the Father for all things. So here we have several things. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. There you have it. That's the formula for thanksgiving. Always, for all things, giving thanks in the name of Jesus Christ to God the Father. Roman numeral 2. I notice we didn't put in, it just occurred to me, my three introductory points. The three introductory points, I did that because sometimes the first thing you say is all some people will remember and they walk out. But just remember that what you give thanks for is what you will be thankful and guard in your life. If you give thanks every day for your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, these are things you'll value. Your church. You'll value your church. If you don't give thanks for things, people, they're not that important to you when the crisis hits. But if every day you give thanks for something, And it will be challenged in the angelic conflict. You will guard it, protect it. So let's go to Roman numeral 2. Thanksgiving is required of every believer. We have paragraphed that last week. 3, there are a few requirements for bona fide thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that is acceptable to God. First, it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit and from a thankful heart. I'm sorry, there are many people, Christians, who do not agree with what I just said. God hears the prayers of people in the flesh. I'm sorry, when we talk about hearing, I'm talking about where He responds as God. No, He doesn't. I'm sorry, He doesn't. The prayers that God responds to are prayers in the Holy Spirit. Why do you think He gave us the Holy Spirit? So the thanksgiving must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. 4, we're to give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 5, give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ephesians 5:20. But also coming up in our study in Colossians. 6, here is one that may escape you. We are to give thanks for one another. We should daily give thanks for husband, wife, children, parents, fellow believers at church. Often Gerald Weber calls, and it's interesting, I have Gerald Weber as my example here, to express to you his thanksgiving for you that we have it on the internet. He called me yesterday, and I want to share this with you. Gerald Weber is just a missionary in his own right. He said, you won't believe what happened. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, I was eating a breakfast, and I got a text message. Now, I don't know how many of you remember William. William came up with Gerald many years ago. William departed. Did not believe you were filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. It's works is how you're filled with the Spirit. And he left a lot of things. So he and Gerald, and I'm saying all this for purpose, otherwise I would not intrude on their privacy. They've not talked, really, for months and months and months. They just, William always wants to confront, and Gerald ain't going to do it. So he got a text message. The primary pastor in Peru, which is where the Webers, William goes, still believes, you're filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, and would like to talk with you. Can you meet with us? And I haven't heard back from him, but just a wonderful challenge of the day, and I was in prayer most of the day yesterday thinking about that. Okay, let's move on. Roman numeral 7, give thanks to God for He answers to your prayers and needs. Now, we pick up where we left off. Roman numeral 8, we are to give thanks to God every time an unbeliever believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, your benefit, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people, that is the grace of the gospel, more and more people believing in Jesus Christ, may cause our response to the spreading of the gospel right here in our own country, the giving of thanks to abound, to increase, to the glory of God for saving souls. People, and I know a lot of you do, I know the Wises do, I know the Dags do, and I hope that when you witness and someone does respond, that just thrills you, and you give thanks to God for it. So, tomorrow, day in and day out, thank God that people in America, throughout the world, are believing in Jesus Christ, and they are. Point 9, a local assembly of believers should be known for giving thanks. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, that is proper among believers, that these things are not mentioned among you. Now verse 4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk. I love that. Silly talk. That's going to be a good message one day. So we're going to study silly talk. All right. Of course, jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks for what God is doing. Roman numeral 10, thanksgiving is the result of all blessings God has given you. Colossians 2:6, which we've already studied. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That is, you receive Him by faith, we walk by faith. The object of faith is the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him through His Word, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You should give thanks every day. So many thanks. I think I said last week, I give thanks for things I never gave thanks for at 35. I'm thankful I make it to a day now. I'm thankful that I drove here without having a wreck or anything. I'm thankful for my health. And at 35, I took it for granted. Give thanks. Roman numeral 11. Legalism should always be countered with thanksgiving. It's a powerful doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:3. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by all, by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. So, don't let legalism counter, one, your life, but certainly answer it with thanksgiving. You want to be a vegetarian? You think it's wrong to eat steak? Let me have your steaks, please. And I'll just take care of those for you. See? I'll take care. Thank you. I give thanks. Thank you. See? We give thanks. Point 12. Warning in regards to giving thanks to God. Here's a warning. Psalm 50:22. Now consider this. You who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be no one to deliver. That's God speaking. Where's His love? We studied that in 9:15 class. Remember, God is righteous and justice. Now consider this. You who forget God. People don't forget Him for an hour. Or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver you. God Himself closes this psalm with a severe warning in regard to thanksgiving. Now, consider this. He starts out with a particle of exhortation. Now. Urgency. It's time now to do something before it's too late. Now. Do it now. Next we have the Cal imperative. It is a command to stop emoting. Stop thinking about yourself in the self-centered life and to start thinking, concentrating on what is going on in your life. The verb in the Hebrew means to discern what is happening in your life. To stop and take a look at all things that are happening in your life. What you're doing with your life, your time, your money, in reference to Christ. In our 9:15 study, we studied Hosea chapter 11. And Hosea 11, I encourage you, if you didn't make it, just read Hosea chapter 11. Read the whole book of Hosea. But I bent down to feed them, like a parent bends down to a baby. I taught them to walk. Love sees a need and meets that need. That's what love does. It does all of these things, and this will never pay attention. They went off to lovers. Hosea had to learn this through his own wife. I love Hosea. Can't wait to meet him in heaven. Here's a young bachelor, enjoying life, I'm sure, and having a wonderful time. All of a sudden, God comes along and says, "Hey, ho, I want you to meet and marry a prostitute." You want me to what? I want you to meet and marry a prostitute. Well, thank you, Father. It's not exactly what I had in mind, but that's what I want. And she's going to leave you, and she's going to have lovers, and you continue taking her back. See? And what he did this so the nation of Israel would learn, why do I keep taking you back? Because I love you. If I destroy you, I can no longer be your God. Hosea, if I get rid of this woman, I can no longer be her husband. Well, why in the world would you want to be her husband? Because I love her. It's the power of love. So here's what we have here. So this is what it's talking about here. Think about it. What God is doing in your life. Don't think of all the bad. Think of the good things He's done and is doing in your life. This is one area where the believer must be honest. Don't lie or deceive yourself. One of the six characteristics of our inherited sin nature is that it is deceitful above all else. Your own flesh nature is deceitful. You can lie to others, but people, to lie to yourself is to play the fool. Be honest to yourself. Next we have the demonstrative pronoun, this. Now, consider this. What are you to consider in verse 23? Something about offering thanksgiving. But before we get to verse 23, you have to concentrate on verse 23. Let's look at the negative of verse 22. There's something you better know about not concentrating and about not offering thanksgiving, not thinking about God, not thanking God, not even aware of what God is doing in your life. I fed you in the wilderness. You never heard it. Just took it for granted. You got tired. You got tired of a wonderful meal. Say, I'd have made a great Hebrew in the wilderness journey. I could eat popcorn every day. Now, I did before I married. And then I learned, well, there's other things to eat. But they just complain to God. We don't want the manna. We want something else. See? Complaining, rather than thanksgiving. Verse 22b, God declares what happens if we do not offer thanksgiving. Think about this. You don't want to offer thanksgiving? Here's what's going to happen. You better do something about yourself and your attitude about thanksgiving. And you parents better do something very serious. It's a very serious thing about your children. To have a constant attitude of thanksgiving to God. And appreciation for life from God. And stop blaming God. But bless God and thank God. Now, many parents today actually contribute to the me generation by failing to instill in their children, the child's upbringing, a mental attitude of thanksgiving. It's I deserve. I deserve a phone. I deserve a TV in my room. I deserve a car. I deserve this. You don't deserve anything. If you get it, be thankful. But we get this attitude, and therefore, they think the government owes to take care of them. The government should take care of me from my birth to my death. Don't interfere with my life. If I want to live a sinful, immoral life, that's my business. But you take care of me. Where did they get that from? Their parents. Their parents taught them this. Parents, be diligent in what you teach your children. Be thankful. Be concerning what you teach them and on a daily basis. Psalm 50, verse 22b, now consider this, you who forget God. We have a Hebrew cal participle describing a class of people throughout all history, forgetful. Principle, this is the opposite of thanksgiving. This word explains why people do not give thanksgiving to God. They forget. Now, sometimes, and I'm not talking about people that are tortured for Christ. That's a whole other category of unbelievable thanksgiving. I can only understand it theologically. but in the Army, in Germany, I'm freezing cold, it's raining, I have a steel thing with food in it, and it's all wet from rain. And I'm supposed to give thanks for this? You bet. You bet. Give thanks for everything. Thank you for my watered-down food. See? Very sarcastic, but nevertheless, I gave thanks. See? Okay. So, this is the opposite of thanksgiving, being forgetful. The word explains why people do not give thanksgiving. They forget. Think you ought to deserve it. You're so used to it. Unfortunately, many people today have never learned to remember God. You can't know Him to forget Him. So first of all, you got to know Him, relationship with Him, then you can forget Him. What this word conveys is very important to God. And He never forgets His people. God never forgets. Look at Isaiah 49:15. Well, here it is. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I, God, will never forget you. See? By application, this refers to all members of the body of Christ. Now, before I get to this on a spiritual ground, I want to make sure you understand the realm of just common sense. So many people forget that you do not earn or deserve anything in life. That's one of the problems in America. Our founding fathers, oh God, they were thankful. They came from Europe. They didn't have freedom of religion. They didn't have the freedom to own and bear arms. Even when they got here, in the late 1700s, Massachusetts passed a law. You cannot be a Quaker and live in Massachusetts. They had to change all of that. But that came from the old country. That came from their old ways. We should give thanks for our Constitution, for our founding fathers. Give thanks for the freedom we enjoy. You forget some basic principles about life. Husbands and wives soon forget and stop being thankful for their spouse. And then thanking their partner. They stop appreciating their partner. I mean, I've been married almost 10 years now. I still give thanks every day. Little thanks, big thanks. Thankful. I lived 69, 67 years without it. I'm thankful for it. Very thankful. That's where we should be every day of our life. I'm sorry I won't celebrate a golden anniversary with her. But if I were, I'd be just as thankful then. And I encourage you, be thankful for one another. We reach the point where we assume that they have to do all these things because they are our husband or our wives. That we do not have to say thank you. People, they don't have to do it. They don't have to do it. And that's what hell breaks loose in a marriage. But they don't have to. Thank you. And both express gratitude. Sometimes this gets to the point where you actually think you earn or deserve. She owes me this. He owes me this. Would you get that? Would you get that? Be thankful. Be thankful. Express appreciation and thanks. A husband, a wife, who fails to express thanksgiving is thoughtless. And this is going to slowly show out in other areas of that relationship, people. Rude, arrogance, and maybe infidelity. You're setting yourself up. In Hosea 11, they went to their other idols and other lovers because they would not turn to me. When you do not turn to Him, things will happen in your life. When Christ is not important, things will happen in your life. When the church is not important, things will happen in your life. And you've got to be able to say, you know, well, I got to figure it out where we lost it. So have this in smart in your soul. In regard to your children, parents, this is your responsibility to teach and train your children to have a mental attitude of thanksgiving and be able to express thanksgiving. you know, a lot of arrogant people, I don't have to say thank you. All right, she knows I'm thankful. He knows I'm thankful. I don't have to do that. Who told you that? Where'd you learn that? Not from the Word of God. See, don't be so arrogant. You don't have to say thank you. This is part of life. But even more so for the believer who walks in the power and leading of God the Holy Spirit. This part of the Holy Spirit life itself. This is also applicable at your work, home, romance, social life. Now back to our context. Psalm 50:22b. Now, consider this. You, personally, who forget God. This is a description of America today. What does it mean to forget God? Obviously, we could spend months to this one question. But let's note some things in order. You forget that He is your Creator, who gave you physical life. This is why they remove the Bible from the judicial system and from our educational system in school. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think Satan construed to remove the Bible from the judicial system and remove the Bible from the educational system? Remove the Creator. Remove the one who gave us these blessings. Take Him out of the equation. Take Him out of our judicial system. Take Him out of our educational system. And this is where we are today. Next, you forget that He is your Savior, who gave you eternal life. Your life may be the pits here on earth, but it's for a short while. Thank God, the moment you die, you're in heaven with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, for all eternity. No more sorrow, no more tears. All these things fade away. Thank God for that. Ben and Nick, they don't think about that. Ryan, you don't think about that. When you're as old as Jim Langston and me, you think about it all the time. Going to be home. It's soon. It's not far away. But you know what? I look forward to it. May to live as Christ and die as gain. But that's got to be more than just words. Next, you forget that He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you for your spiritual life. Next, you forget that He is the source of every blessing. And I should have put in here, shame on me, shame on me. You forget He gave you His Word. He gave you this book so that you would know about Him and His Son. So please put that in your notes. He gave you your Word, His Word, and the Spirit to understand His Word. These should lead to a cause thanksgiving. But forgetting these leads to living a self-centered life, living for your own benefit, your own pleasure, rather than the glory of Jesus Christ. Believers who live self-centered lives are forgetful. And when you're forgetful, you're ungrateful. They go together. You live like you have forgotten that you are here by grace and that you live by grace. Now, what happens to people who forget God? What happens to you and to me if we forget God? Here's the warning. See? Lest I tear you in pieces and there is none to deliver. Always got somebody we can run to. No, not when God moves in. Okay, here's a warning to learn about God. Here's His thinking toward those who forget that He is and stop thinking and giving thanks to Him. Least in the Hebrew is an averting conjunction. That means if you want to avert God tearing you and your life into pieces, then you better start paying attention to what's going on and give thanks. Start offering thanks to Him this day. Tear you in pieces. People, this is God speaking. This is God speaking. This is not your mom and dad talking to you when you were a kid. This is God. He means it. That's an expression. I'm going to tear you to pieces. No, you're not. You may beat me, but you're going to tear me to pieces. God means it. In the Hebrew, reveals the power and temperament of God's righteousness and justice. It means to seize and tear apart. It means to seize, grab hold of you, and tear apart. Now think about that. How do you want God to grab hold of you? When you become a believer, you're in the hand of God and no one can get you out. Not you, not anyone. Not a sinful life, no one. Not Satan, no one can get you out. But if you're a believer and you forget to be thankful, he'll get you another hand. And boy, that's not a good hand to be in. That's the hand that shakes and just starts rattling your soul, rattling your life. So that's what it means. It describes a most painful life or death. It means that God is going to reach down, seize the person, tear his life apart, which involves misery and pain. Now, if you've forgotten what pain is like, see? Just in case you have forgotten, okay. Man is going to tell you, she tore off her toenail. I didn't even think about it. And she said it's the most painful thing she's ever experienced. I said, well, rest assured, it will get worse in life. But I don't think she pleased that. Yes, encouragement. That's my gift, encouragement. So, pain. This is pain. People, when God gives pain, he gives pain. See? And then God adds a little note in reference to his power in person. You have forgotten that there is no power, no authority over his. There is none to deliver. There's no mother, there's no daddy, there's no care now, there's no emergency center that will be able to help you. When you forget God, you are concentrating on something or someone else to give your life meaning, give your life blessing, give your life protection. But when you forget God, this also means you have forgotten there is no power, there is no one that can come to your aid against God. Please remember that. We have the hifil of the Hebrew word for deliver. Now, oh boy, that's really exciting. I'll put that on my refrigerator door. Well, just a minute. The hifil means cause. It introduces cause. Caused to be delivered. Caused to be snatched away from danger. There will be none who will be caused to deliver you. At all. I personally love the Hebrew. It has 26 different things it could be, and I love them. Hebrew can just, it's so rich and dynamic in so many ways. Alright, now, when you forget God, you place your confidence in something else to protect you from all the problems on earth. Jeremiah 7:5. Cursed is he who trusted man. Psalm 50:23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the deliverance of God. Not eternal life salvation, just deliverance in life. What happens when you offer thanksgiving to God? Think about it. What are you doing? You're honoring God before angels and before man. That's what you're doing. You're honoring God. I am so sorry that so many Christians are too embarrassed in a public restaurant to thank God. In seminary, Ed Robinson, in first year, he had a class, it was so funny, and I can't remember them, but he had about 10 different things that he called things. There's the dropping of the napkin prayer. Thank you, Father, for this food. Thank you for the pay it up. And then he had about 10 of these things that people do. And then there's thanking God in the car. Thanking God. What's wrong with it? Thank you, Father, for this food. Amen. Wow, that took 5 seconds. If that disturbed anybody in the restaurant, they shouldn't be looking. Why aren't they eating? See? Give thanks to God. And let me tell you something. Some restaurants, you want to pray. Okay. Now, you honor God before angels and before man. Remember, angels are watching you. Angels are watching. Now, what happens is that you continue to fulfill your purpose here on earth. Most do not know why they're here on earth. You are here to glorify God, glorify Jesus Christ, and one way to glorify God is by faith. Another is by thanksgiving. Think about this. Angels are watching. Okay. Let me fill the Spirit. Somebody says to God, I offer you my confession. I offer you my repentance. I offer you my feeling sorry. I offer you promising God I'll never do it again. This kind of thing. So, they look at what you're offering God. We come along, I offer you nothing but faith. What do the angels do? They don't see anything here, so they look to God. Is that going to be enough? Is that going to be enough to save them eternally? Is that going to be enough to empower them with your Spirit? What are you going to do, God? See, if we're offering things, they're thinking about this. But if I just, here, I have nothing. Just faith. I trust your Spirit. Angels are watching. And they're learning what God is looking for. So you honor God when you thank God. See? One of the nice scenes in a movie most of you probably have either haven't seen or forgot, Shenandoah Valley. And the dad was at the table. And you know what he said? He said, thank you that I worked for this food. Thank you that I got out and did the plowing. Thank you that I did this. Thank you that I did that. It wasn't a thank you prayer at all. It was a praise of himself. That's where a lot of people think. I did this. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. So, this is very important. You honor God by offering thanksgiving. Now, Psalm 50:23a. He who offers, this is the next verse, offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Now, we do not live in the age of sacrifices and rituals, but we do live in a time and age where we honor God by thanksgiving. We honor Him. You don't have to go to a lot of work. You don't have to bring in an offering. You don't have to watch it bleed to death and all these kind of things. Just that quickly. Thank Him. Give praise. To slaughter for sacrifice. Instead, you being torn and slaughtered by your forgetfulness. That's what he's saying to the Jewish people. You can offer a sacrifice that's torn, or I'll tear you. You take your pick. That's what he's saying here. The English, offer a sacrifice, is all one word in the Hebrew. Next we have the kind of sacrifice, thanksgiving. Or, as we have it here, with sacrifice. Thanks, offering. Offering for which good thanks. Okay. Summary of thanksgiving from our context. Giving thanks to God is, first of all, remembering God. You hear that? It's, first of all, remembering God. The opposite of forgetting God. Instead of forgetting God, when you offer thanksgiving, you're remembering God. And who's ashamed to remember God? Shame on you if you're ashamed to remember God. You remember who He is and all He has done for you and is doing for you. When you offer thanksgiving to God, you're not only remembering all that God is, but you're remembering that you are totally dependent on God. No one else can help you. That all you are and have is for the grace of God. Well, I'm not smart in school. You know, I now have 8 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, all this kind of stuff, and education comes up a lot. And I'm sorry, college isn't for everyone. I'm sorry we live in a society where you make $20,000 more a month if you, or a year if you have a college education. but it's not for everyone. And I'm so sorry that we put it down people who can't go to college, don't have the IQ or the mental makeup or the self-discipline or whatever you want to call it. No disparaging remark on them. What a shame. What a shame. Say, thank God for who and what you are. I'm saved. I'm in Christ. I share His righteousness. I will be with Him for all eternity. We're going to put out a booklet, a pamphlet. I guarantee you we're going to do it. 34 things. And because it's so important. And when you don't feel like you've got enough, take that pamphlet and just read 34 things that you have in Christ. And you'll have 34 things to give thanks for. Three, expressing thanksgiving is expressing gratitude for the being of God and for His blessings, beginning with physical life and then eternal life. What good is physical life but I have eternal life? It's a disaster. I got them both covered. Four, Leviticus 7:12, the peace offering is designed to teach the Hebrews of the person and work of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, we know Him by name. But now that Jesus and the Jews had a mental attitude of thanksgiving for the purpose, for the person and work of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 7:12-14. 5. 2 Chronicles 19:21-31. Thanksgiving must be from the desire and volition of the one who offers it. It is a response to what God has accomplished. Now, let me just stop. Let me talk about parents. Giving thanks is against our flesh nature. You do have to train your children. They may not even want to. I think I told you last week, thanking Aunt Elsie for Raisin Bran cookies, was the homemade cookies, was not my idea of a wonderful Christmas present for a 10-year-old. That just, I don't like raisin cookies, and especially for Christmas. But that's what I got. And if I didn't say thank you, I got bapped on the back of the head. That's where my mother was. Right? Give thanks. And I learned. Give thanks. Give thanks. Little thanks, big thanks. Now, in the spirit, by no means, to avert pain. That's what that was. To avert a knocking on the head. This is to avert pain from God. Remember? Averting. See? But you learn. They learn as children. And then when they start learning how to be filled with the Spirit, then they start learning of the blessings of God, and they just go right into a thankful life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for teaching me. Because now I'm thankful to God. You want a blessing as a parent? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Thank you for teaching me to be thankful. Not for giving me an iPhone. Not for giving me a television in my room. But thank you for teaching me so that now I'm thankful to God. And I'm thankful to my husband. I'm thankful to my wife. These are the blessings of life that are the privilege of a parent. 6. To the believer who is oriented to the plan of God, thanksgiving is related even to death. Psalm 116:17, glorifying God in death. 7. The thank offering is given in expression of thanks and praise of the deliverance of the Lord. Psalm 56. I'm sorry, I thank God. I thought God when I parked and stopped the car this morning, I'll thank Him when I get home. Thank you that I made it home. Thank you. Thank you for the deliverance. 8. All grace of God is through His Son, the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you give thanks, you're occupied with Christ in thanksgiving. You're occupied with God, and you're occupied with Christ. And you're occupied with the Holy Spirit. Takes you to Christ, takes you to the Father. It's a beautiful, beautiful thinking system. We're here to glorify God before man, before angels, in the angelic conflict. One simple way of doing that is by having giving thanksgiving. Now, the verse closes, honors me. This is an intensive PL. We told the IFA, this is a PL. PL is an intensive part of your life. I love the PL stem. It's intense. You're glorifying God. You're honoring God. Think about that. You're not out doing great things. You're not giving him $1 million. You're not doing this. You're not suffering the martyr for Christ. All you're doing is saying thank you. And you're honoring God. You don't have to suffer a martyr's death to honor God. All you have to do is say thank you, Father, throughout your day. And you honor him before man and before angel. The word means that you place something or someone at the heart and core of your existence. As you evaluate your life, as you evaluate your person, it is your relationship with Jesus Christ, with the plan of God for your life. That your life has any merit or value, it's from God. When you forget God, you forget Jesus Christ, and you'll then live a self-centered life. You dishonor him, but when you give thanksgiving, you honor him. Now, the next line, the second result of not forgetting God, having a mental attitude of thanksgiving, is that it affects the priorities of your life. A husband or wife who daily gives thanks for each other will treat them right, will give them a priority in their life. You're thankful for them. If you're not thankful for your husband, you're not thankful for your wife, you're not thankful for your parents, you're not thankful for your children, you will mistreat them. You'll take them for granted. You'll be abusive. If you're thankful, you will show a different attitude. Psalm 50:23b, and to him who orders or sets his way aright. In the Hebrew, we have two words, verb plus a noun. Order or sets, way. The verb is the cal stem, to set or to put something, to commit. Commitment is no issue in salvation. But it is an issue in the spirit-filled life. You are determined what's important in your life. God the Holy Spirit is important. Spirituality is important. This means that when you have to make a decision, you have already established the basis upon which you will make that decision. It's not about that decision. The first thing I have to do is be right with the Holy Spirit. Then I'll think about the decision. That's the way it works. First, him. Then, the decision. Principle. You do not forget God, but think of him. Remember him every day. Every time you have to make a decision. Verse 23c, I shall show the deliverance of God. I shall show. This Hebrew word means to see. Or as we have seen it in the IFL, calls to see. God will cause you to see. See, what happened to Israel and Hosea? God bent down and fed them. God bent down and taught them to walk. They never saw it. It's like a rebellious teenager. The mother gave birth, fed, clothed, took care of them, nursed them, on and on and on, took care of them. They never saw it. Go off and live wherever they want. That's what Israel did with God. And that's what we do with God when we do not understand this. So the Hifil means caused to see. That's what Thanksgiving will do. It'll cause you to see. The word ra'ah means to reveal or to eliminate. Elimination is one of the ministries of God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This is the issue in the Gospel of John chapter 8. Abide in my Word. Psalm 50:23, Revised Translation, I will cause to see or have eliminated the deliverance of God. Hebrew for salvation is yasha, and it means here safety, welfare, deliverance by God. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father. Psalm 50:23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. I want to emphasize that, people, you don't have to be a martyr to honor Christ. You don't have to walk on hot coals. You don't have to give up your home. All you have to do is thank you, Father. Thank you. You've honored him. Think of that. You honor him. He who offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders or sets his way astray, I will cause to see the deliverance of God. And you can read Psalm 100 there. And so we will continue here next Sunday morning. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll move into the next imperative. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Moving to the next, the last of the three imperatives next Sunday morning. Please remember Wednesday night, 6:45 prayer meeting, 7:30, Ben Gadeg is going to teach, and I can't wait. So, those are things coming up, and then of course Veterans Day and things that are going on. Let's close in a word of prayer. Where do we begin thanking you, Father? We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for the indwelling of your Spirit. We thank you for your Word. We thank you, Father, that we live in a country where we can assemble and study your Word together. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the opportunities we have to witness for Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit take the things we've seen this morning. Use them to the honor and glory of Christ. Let us be honoring of Christ and of God, of you. Father, we pray for Brian Wise, who's out. Dangerous job. Tired. Keep him safe. Bring him home. We pray, Father, for Judith, keep her safe and bring her home. Father, we pray for so many of the requests that we've had here. We thank you for the safe delivery of the three babies. We just go on and on, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We do not grow tired of honoring you by saying thank you. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will use these things to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.